The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, there has been controversy about a couple of books on the Junior Cert syllabus, in the English syllabus. Harper Lee's novel To Kill a Mockingbird and John Steinbeck's novella of Mice and Men. And indeed, the Labour Party education spokesman Éan O'Riordan has himself come out and said they should be removed from this syllabus. Okay, Aoife Barry, let's focus particularly on the Harper Lee novel To Kill a Mockingbird. What is the alleged problem here?
Sure. Well, our reporter in the journal.ie, Stevie McDermott, broke the story there on Monday through an FOI with the Department of Education, which showed that the department had gotten some emails and communication from parents about suggesting that they should basically remove certain novels. So those novels that you mentioned there, like To Kill a Mockingbird, from the school curriculum because of the use of the N-word in those particular books. And because of the experiences really of students who had been in class while bits of the books had been read out and had found it very uncomfortable. So one parent of a black teenager wrote to the department and said that black children have found it very uncomfortable when made to sit in classrooms where their classmates and peers are reading this material, and that they're often asked to read the book out loud in class, and the effect this horrendous word being pronounced in their presence has on them is obviously a big thing. Another parent also said their daughter felt uncomfortable because she's the only non-white person in her class when that N-word is read out by the teacher. Now, this was really interesting because the department is looking at the syllabus and looking at these books as a result of the FOI, but it also shows like it's an ongoing discussion. If you Google debate To Kill a Mockingbird, this has been going on for a long time. It's not a new thing, but it is probably a new thing to see the Department of Education is getting this new correspondence, which specifically was in the wake of the Black Lives Matter protests this year.
Indeed, but is the use of the N-word the only issue, or is there not also an argument in relation to the fact that the black characters in To Kill a Mockingbird are peripheral, and this is all about what's been described as white privilege?
Yeah, so the FOI details we have here, I don't specifically mention that, but that is a big part of the discussion around To Kill a Mockingbird in particular, because you do have Harper Lee, who is a white woman who did live through the time she was writing about in the book. Like, the book came out in 1960, but it's set back in around the 30s, and it's about kind of a real life event about a man who is, in this case in the book, the man was accused falsely of rape, a black man who's represented by a white lawyer, and it's told through the eyes of Scout Finch, who is a young girl, so you get that youthful perspective, that kind of naive perspective on what's been happening. And the question there is, you know, do we want to kind of be teaching racism through a lens that's a white lens, where you have this peripheral characters where you don't get the interior life of the black characters in the book, and that you don't have then a balanced look at what was going on, as opposed to having, say, a writer who is a person of colour, an African-American writer in this case, for example, writing about what happened in the Deep South through their perspective, which you'd get in something like Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry, which is the book that was on the syllabus when I was in school, definitely, and which taught me a huge amount about, say, like the Jim Crow laws through the eyes of a child at that time. So that's a big part of it, like, who is telling whose story, and how do we talk about these books when we teach them in schools as well?
Larissa Nolan, what do you make of all this?
I'll tell you what, I haven't googled the debate online about To Kill a Mockingbird, but I certainly have read the book, and I had to do a double take. I was thinking I must be hearing the wrong book, because the only way that I would find it an issue, To Kill a Mockingbird, is that if somebody was trying to actually say that it shouldn't be on the syllabus, as opposed to saying that it is on it and we should be taking it off. So I was actually quite confused about this for a while. I remember reading it a long time ago. I have it here, actually, and I must reread it to have a look back into it again. But what I found it to be particularly instructive and informative and eye-opening, you know, to actually waken you up to what's happening there. I never thought, and I don't believe in encouraging people to think that a person who writes fiction has to be from a particular place or has to have a particular experience.
Or
I don't believe
in that. Particular colour.
Well, I don't believe you need to have that possessiveness. I mean, say for example in Harper Lee, all I can say is for her is thank God she's not a man, because God knows what kind of she'd be shot down altogether if she was a man as well. No, I don't believe so at all, because in that case it's completely to do with imagination. I mean, I find it hard to believe we're even discussing this, the idea of to try and we have to explain that the idea of a writer or an author is somebody who goes and does their research.
But what about the issue that Aoife outlined that came up in the correspondence with the Department of Education, that we have in the New Ireland, the modern Ireland, we have an, we used to be almost exclusively white. That is no longer the case.
Yeah,
and there are children who were in school who were upset by the reading out of passages which include the N-word.
Yeah, well, I mean, we are involved in the school that my son goes to is practically an international school. I'm very keenly aware of all those kind of issues, even on a personal level, and very keen to make sure that we obviously get the right balance and everybody is happy. Children, especially younger children, for them to be happy in school, I think, is most of our number one need or want. However, when you're coming up through school and you're coming into secondary school and all of these things, and it's something that I suppose those of us who have children who are coming into the teenage years, we have to brace ourselves for it, because there's an awful lot of horribleness in the world. There's an awful lot of harsh reality, difficult stuff. I particularly remember it myself, as I was just going to say there a minute ago, the reason I particularly liked To Kill a Mockingbird was because it brought to me in a very harsh way the importance of the presumption of innocence, and particularly so how minorities need that presumption of innocence more than any other group, because they're the most likely to fall vulnerable to a culture where that isn't the priority. So I think for that particular reason, it's an excellent book for any young person to read. Very, very difficult for, without spoiling the ending, it can be, you know, maybe it's possibly the reason why young people are finding it difficult. I don't believe that lawnmowing the road in front of people to try and save them from the realities of life is necessarily a good idea. In fact, it's clearly a harmful idea. We need to learn resilience. We need to build resilience. We need to learn how to cope. The idea of saying, oh, this is causing a problem, so we're going to shove that away and effectively airbrush it and, of course, censor an author of the American canon. You know, I it's obviously not the idea, but I do think, and it's quite paternalistic as well, but I do think, Matt, that if an issue is emerging that young adults, as in mid-teenagers, if they're finding it difficult to cope and it's disproportionate to the issue at hand, I think we really need to address that, and we'd be failing young teenagers if we didn't address those who couldn't cope with a fictional story that may be slightly challenging. Or if, you know, I don't believe in a culture where we find some group is uncomfortable. We could all claim.
Well, let me go to Aoife Barry on that. We're getting lots of messages in on this. Mm. One listener says, absolute snowflakeism. Read the book. I've read the book to all my kids and use it as a platform to discuss racism.
Yes.
Essential reading. Lots of people are saying that this is something that their children can actually understand, and that it's a positive message, anti-racist message that it actually gives them.
I mean, and I know when I was back in secondary school and we were studying it as well, for a lot of us, it was a really eye-opening book, and it was a great way to discuss the issue of racism. But I mean, when I was in secondary school, that was 20 odd years ago. Times have moved on in the sense that people are starting to question, I suppose, the idea of the sacred cows that are in the canon, and the idea of, are there other books there that we can start moving into the syllabus? Now, if you do look at the syllabus, so people have to pick, the students have to pick, or the teachers really, two books from the prescribed text, and there's 20 different books there. So, you know, removing that book from it doesn't mean that you're removing one of two books off the list, you know what I mean, of a list of two. And there are other ways of looking at different stories on it, like Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe is on the list as well. And that's a really good look of like post-colonialism, you know, in Africa. And I think the idea that people are kind of thinking it's cancel culture or it's censorship, it's not. It's literally raising questions. Let me just finish. It's not, because it's not censoring the book. It's questioning whether or not this book should be on the list of prescribed texts. And I think people are starting to look at, so people in society are looking at things and saying, right, can we examine how we are looking at literature? Are there questions that we should be raising? And if we don't raise questions, then how can we kind of evolve? And I think if you really drill down to it and you go back to that FOI and you go back to those emails from those concerned parents, like, I'm a white person. If I'm sitting in a classroom full of white people, it's not really going to affect me as much as if I'm not a white person sitting in that class hearing a racial slur aimed at people just like me. So I think, you know, the core message in To Kill a Mockingbird, ironically, is that you never really know a man until you stand in his shoes and walk around in them. And that's kind of what people are trying to do in this situation, I think, stand in someone else's shoes. And
lots of listener comments coming in. Deirdre says, if this is removed from the junior cert, there's nothing to stop all these concerned white parents from reading these books with their own children.
Well, I'd be interested to see, Matt, who actually complained, because quite a lot of the time you've found in sociological studies across America particularly that it isn't the groups involved who are complaining, it is people who believe to be acting on their behalf. And I was interested in Aoife there categorising what is and isn't censorship. I mean, it's effectively censorship by another name. If you were to go out of the way to remove something on ideological grounds, it would be classified as censorship. But the issue with censorship is always, of course, that the people who do it think that they're doing it for reasons of good, and everybody believes that this is for the well-being of a group, and this is why we'll do it. And it's essentially why I don't believe in censorship of any form.
Okay, but, and Aoife Barry, last one I want to put to you from a listener. Hope none of the offended children, hope they don't listen to rap music, as the N-word is constantly using it. Wait, it's okay when blacks use it, but they want nobody else to. Double standard, says that listener.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's up to me to speak on behalf of other people from different races and their viewpoints on like what culture they consume. So I think that can sometimes be a straw man argument that's entered when you're talking about these subjects. I think kind of need to get back to the idea of there's a big long list of books on this particular syllabus. There are concerns from some parents about these books, and the idea is having a discussion about them and a discussion about how they're affecting the different people reading them, as opposed to saying, let's put a pyre and put loads of books in them and set fire to them, which is not that. Thankfully, what people are talking about here. So the discussion isn't at this very, level of trying to censor a book. It's questioning what books should be on this list of 20 books for the junior cert in Ireland. And that's why it is a very tough topic for a lot of people. It's not an easy conversation for a lot of people to have. And that's why people are very strong.
Thank you very much, Aoife Barry, Assistant News Editor at thejournal.ie, and Larissa Nolan for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.